Parsha perspectives. Parsha perspectives. I want to stop at 10:50 and then you'll fill in a 10:50 price. Here we go. Now, question number one. The Parsha reviews the journeys of the Jewish people. Question number one. Why does the Torah review all the journeys? Number two. Do the locations in this Parsha cover all of the journeys of the Midbar? If not, why did it select some, and why did it chuck others? Okay, so that's question two. Question number one is, why this review of all the journeys of the Midbar? Question number two is, why select some and not say the others? So, this Parsha is a good conclusion to Bamidbar. It's basically a summary of the journeys that they took throughout this whole Sefer, and it's their last preparations before entering to the land of Israel. But there has to be more than just a geography lesson in the Parsha. The Parsha cannot just be a geography lesson. So let's begin. Look inside. Look in your sheet. Source number one. Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael Asher Yotzu Me'eretz Yisrayim. These are the journeys of Bnei Yisrael who left Mitzrayim. Letziv Osam in their multitudes. Biyad Moshe Va'aron. This is the key pasuk of the whole Parsha right here. Vayichtov Moshe et Motzaeim L'Masaeim. Moshe recorded all their starting points in their journeys. Al Pi Hashem. Their journeys were Al Pi Hashem. Focus carefully. It's going to get heavy. The journeys the Jewish people took were Al Pi Hashem. Wherever they go, they were guided by God. That is the journey. Al Pi Hashem. This phrase, Al Pi Hashem, that the Parsha starts with, is a phrase that we have earlier in Bamidbar. If you have your sheet, take a look at source number two. This is earlier in Bamidbar Perek Tes. I found here, I counted, the phrase Al Pi Hashem pops up here seven times. Pops up seven times.
Wait, and then Parsha or just...
In that section, right there, in the journeys, we have Al Pi Hashem seven times. The fact that our Parsha is going to go back to that line of Al Pi Hashem is very interesting. Very fascinating. Our Parsha goes back to Al Pi Hashem. And the question is why? What's it trying to get at? My point is this. It's going back to what we did near the beginning of Bamidbar by using that code word, Al Pi Hashem. So you follow the kashas so far? Listen again. The kashas are, why do we have this list of journeys over here at the end of Bamidbar? Why aren't all the places mentioned? Some are mentioned, some aren't. Number three, our Parsha begins with those words, Al Pi Hashem, as though it's trying to tell you back to something that happened at the beginning of Bamidbar. Okay? That's how we're going to begin to discover our Parsha and what it's giving at, going at. The majority of the Parsha follows a set pattern in terms of how the psukim are listed. They follow the following format in our Parsha. It goes like this. Vayisu me, which means what? What's Vayisu me? What is Vayisu? They left from, they traveled from, Vayisu me, Vayichanu be. What does that mean?
And they camped.
Right. They camped. They left from, and they encamped to. That's the whole format of the Parsha. I looked through it very carefully. There's only four places that doesn't have that type of description, but has a little bit more. Okay, now follow carefully the places. Again, everywhere in the Parsha, it follows the format of Vayisu Meh, they left from, Vayachanu Meh, and they went to. They left from, they went to. Over and over. Only four places don't have that exact, but have a little bit more. These are the four. The four they chose to highlight are number one, the abundance of water in the Elim. Did I put that? Give you that pasuk? Let me see which number three on the list here. Not yet. I'll just tell you the four. What? Source five. Source five is Shmos. Oh, we get that in a minute. The four in our Parsha that don't follow the simple format, the quick format of a Yisumeh, Vayichanu B, is the water that happened in Elim. Elim, there was abundance of water when the Jews were thirsty. Number two is the lack of water in Rephidim. That's number two. Number three is the death of Aaron. And number four, the war against the Canaanim. Those are the four events that are mentioned in our Parsha. Everything else is just location, location, location. Okay? Our whole Parsha is a list of a bunch of locations until you get to the war at the end and death of Aaron. But there's four basic events that are mentioned in our Parsha. The four are the tons of water they got in Elim, the lack of water in Rephidim, the death of Aaron, and the war against the Canaanim. Here's my kasha. Why those four events? Why does Maaseh, if somebody asks, you know what an elevator pitch is? An elevator pitch is where someone asks you to explain your business while you're in an elevator with them and you only have a couple floors to go. You got to explain it quickly. So if someone asked me, what's the elevator pitch of Parshas Maaseh? It's 42 different places the Jews went to, and it speaks focuses on four events. The abundance of water in Elim, the lack of water in Rephidim, the death of Aaron, and the war against the Canaanim. Wait. Why those four? Yes, Ram.
Then why, what is Yirmiyahu doing here, Jeremiah? What does that have to do with Matzah Matzah? Because that happened later on.
You can't ask questions from my Myra Koma sheet. I have to tell you why I put it there.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not Rashi, so you don't have to ask good kashas on. Okay, so here we go.
Okay, why'd you put it there?
You'll see, we'll get there. That's a good question. Okay, we'll get to it in a moment. Now.
Could these be the defining points of
Amidbar? Oh! Ian Fish! Could these be the defining moments of Amidbar? I thought about it. I'm like,
maybe there's some extra clothes.
I thought about it. These are the major moments in the Midbar, right? Maybe these are the four biggest moments in the Midbar. Then I realized, what? Matan Torah! Egel Azov! Korach Vadaso!
Oh, wasn't that Shmos?
Moshe! They happen, Sefer Shmos, but they're Midbar events. They're things that happen in the desert. The thing, Korach's in Sefer Midbar, if you want to be literal and say any literal Midbar things. We mentioned Golden Calf in Sefer Midbar. So we got big events in Midbar. They're not mentioned over here. They're not mentioned. So then I thought maybe it's a water thing. It's a water. I started going with a water approach. Yeah, what do you want to say?
No. It could also be like, it's to show you that no, these are the most important parts because it's these are like the basic necessities that the Jews need. They need water, they need Aaron in the pathway, and Hashem also.
And they need war. We're going to have to sharpen it. You're on the way. We're going to have to sharpen it. I looked at the four places Jews are busy with water. This is good. If you're ever in a game show and they ask you the four water places in Tanakh, the four water places in the Torah itself, the five books of Moses, are Midbar Shor. Midbar Shor you could see in source number 3, Perek Tesvav Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayisa Moshe Es Yisrael Miyamsuf, and they went to Midbar Shor, and they went for 3 days and they could not find water. They couldn't find water. The next water place was a place called Mara. Mara, that's the next source. They came to Mara, but they couldn't drink the water because the water was what?
Bitter.
The water was bitter. It was Mara. By the way, Parshas Maaseh mentions that the Jews went 3 days in the Midbar in Etam, which is Midbar Shor, but it doesn't mention anything with the water that happened there. Parshas Maaseh mentions Mara, but it doesn't mention what happened with the water there. Then the third and fourth place is Elim. Elim is mentioned in Parshas Maaseh, about how the Jews were thirsty, and God gave them us all this water. And then Midbar Sin, when the Jews were complaining, right, and God promised them man. Midbar Sin. These are the four water places in all of Tanakh. The four water places. Maaseh mentions Midbar Sin, but it doesn't mention any complaint, and it doesn't mention the man. Then you have two more, which our Parsha mentions, which is Rephidim. Rephidim. Parshas Maaseh mentions Rephidim, but it only mentions, it doesn't mention the miracle of the water coming out of the rock. It just mentions that they were missing water over there. So it doesn't mention the water coming out of the rock. And then Kadesh Midbar Tzin, where the Gzera happened that Moshe and Aaron could not go into the land, that's also missing from Parshas Maaseh. It just says Midbar Tzin is Kadesh. So you got a little bit of a mess here. Things are mentioned about water. Things are not mentioned. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. Moshe and Aaron, the fact they hit the rock, that's not mentioned here in Maaseh. What's the code word? What's happening in the Parsha? How do we understand what is occurring over here? So I want to suggest the following idea.
Miracles?
What?
Miracles?
Well, miracles also. The rock gave water. How come it didn't mention that? The whole thing when it hit the came water. Lots of water. Lots of miracles. So I want to give you a following approach that I think works for the whole Parsha to explain all of Parsha's Maaseh. Chesed in a time of difficulty. Listen carefully. Chesed in a time of difficulty. Elim reflects Hashem's kindness with Am Yisrael. He gave us an oasis, an abundance of water. That's Elim. Refidim is the difficulty of travel in the desert, how hard it was. It doesn't mention the complaints. It mentions the people have a lack of water there. So Elim is Hashem's kindness with Am Yisrael, and Refidim is the difficulty the Jews had while in the Midbar. Now to Ram's question. Why Yirmiyahu? Why Yirmiyahu? Look at the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, from Jeremiah, one of the most famous psukim in Tanakh. Halach v'karasa ba'ozne Yerushalayim. Go and call out to Yerushalayim. Leimar ko amar Hashem. Thus said Hashem. Zacharti la chesed nurayich. I remember the chesed of your youth. Avas kalulosayich. The devotion, the love of your youth. Lechtech acharai ba'midbar be'eretz lo zarua. You followed after me in the Midbar, in an Eretz Lo Zarua, in a land that was not sown, that was not planted. What's this Yirmiyahu telling you? It's a song, right? Lech, tech, acha, right? What's this pasuk telling you? Something like that. What's this pasuk telling you? Think about this pasuk. It's huge. It's a huge pasuk. Think about what the pasuk in Yirmiyahu is telling you. Sit in it for a moment. I remember the chesed that you Jewish people did. Lechtech acharai b'midbar. You followed me in the midbar. Be'eretz lo zarua. In a plant, in an area that was uncultivated. Yirmiyahu is telling you that the schus that we had to enter into Eretz Yisrael, you know what our schus was? Yes, it was promised to Abram and his children. But what was the trigger that Hashem said, now you're ready to go? The fact that we devotedly followed Hashem in the Midbar through the difficulty and through the challenge, we appreciated the chesed of Hashem. With that, we were able to go into the Midbar. Once you take that, you understand all of Parsha's Maaseh. It all falls into place. Maaseh is not about how the Jews messed up. That's not what the Parsha is about. Did the Jews mess up in the Midbar? Plenty of times. Maaseh is not about getting the Torah. Maaseh is not about rebellion and Korach. It's not about all the mess-ups. It's not about the failures. It's about the relationship we had with Hashem in the Midbar. We struggled. We had difficulty. Hashem gave us Shefa Bracha when we needed it most. And that forged the relationship by which we were able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's the elevator pitch of Parshas Maaseh. Now, everything that's mentioned in Maaseh makes sense. Why those four? Elim is the water that God brought us. Refidim is the struggle. The Midbar was hard. Now stop for a moment and I'm going to bring it home and I'll tie it to Aaron and Canaan. You know the Jews were in Midbar Kadesh right at the beginning. And over there where the Meraglim happened, the Jews sinned and they could not enter the land. They were ready to enter the land and they had to wander for another 38 years in their second year in the Midbar. Another 38 years. They had to wander. Okay. Now listen to this. Our Parsha does not mention, specifically and outright, the locale of the sin of the Meraglim, the area or the sin. You know why? This is the answer. The answer is because these 38 years were not for nothing. This journey was not for nothing. They weren't ready yet to go into the land. There was no way they were going to be ready. You see, when we read the Torah, we always think, what a botched opportunity. We could have gone right there, and we lost it. No, you couldn't have gone right there. The proof is, look what happened with the Meraglim. You weren't ready yet as a people. You were too young and too untrained yet. You haven't been battle-worn yet. You're not ready yet for Israel. That means Maaseh is a parsha that tells you all those journeys were not a waste of time. You know how when you get lost, you end up having to drive an hour and a half to correct yourself. Let's say you get lost. Now you realize how bad it was. You need to come around and go an hour and a half. That hour and a half is the biggest waste of time because you know you didn't need it. But what if the detour, you took, you realized along the way, was making you a better person? What if the detour, the accidental detour you took when you got lost, brought you things that you never knew you had inside of you? That it'll turn out that hour and a half that you went out of your way was not a waste at all. I was once in Morasha Kolel, high school program similar to this. Learning was a good 8-9 hours a day for high school kids. And I was there as a madrich right after my first year in yeshiva. And the bus broke down, Pennsylvania. We were on a trip, like a Shabbaton. And it was a 3-hour trip, and the bus broke down in the sweltering heat. Now, you could look at that bus breaking down moment and say to yourself, what a waste of time. We're stuck waiting for them to repair the bus for 3 hours. I will never forget those 3 hours because on that bus was one of the YU Rosh Yeshivas, Rabbi Baruch Simon, got up. He was very young then. He took the microphone and he gave a 3-hour shiur on the bus. He gave just by heart a 3-hour, beautiful 3-hour shiur on the bus. It was the most amazing shiur any of us had ever heard. It turns out the bus breaking down and the getting lost actually was a good thing that day. So take that mushel to yourselves. You get lost in the road and you're way out of the way. It's annoying. You have to go an hour and a half back to come around. It's a waste of time. But imagine if while you're taking that hour and a half out of the way, you find something out about yourself or you discover a place you didn't know was there. The same thing with the journey of the Jewish people. Parshas Maaseh is there to show us that the detour of the 38 years was not for nothing. We were training ourselves to become a people that's ready to come into Eretz Yisrael. And only once that's in place are we then ready to go into Israel. That's why Aaron dies in this parsha. Aaron dies in this parsha because we're not ready to go into Eretz Yisrael until Aaron can step aside. Aaron's from the previous generation. He steps aside. The death of Aaron, we can begin to move forward. And then, what happens? Right as we're at the boundary, right as we're at the boundary of the land of Israel, the Canaanim say, uh-oh, they're getting close. That war is the first war that proves the Jews are now ready to enter the land. This is a battle over entering Eretz Yisrael. Amalek was not a battle over entering Eretz Yisrael. The other wars we had in Bamidbar were not about being ready for the next stage. They were about something else. Now we're showing we're ready. And that, mamish, is the theme of Parshas Maaseh from beginning until end.